You got us recording them. Mm-hmm. Of course. Nobody. One more time. C. You got to spell it out. O-O-L. Oh, that's the joint. We're going to end it, baby. Cool. Cool, Lyman. You down with that? You like that one?
I mean, he going to have player instinct.
It's going to be a girl.
I don't know, because then that could be like, oh, she cool.
Your daughter cool.
She cool with that. Like, no. No, she ain't cool with that.
What's up, y'all? It's K and C Layman.
What's going on, y'all?
On the mic tonight. And if you've been listening to the Chitlin Circuit on Twitter, watching all the various activity that's been taking place, you probably know that Chris and I are expecting a new baby. We got busted out by IDS.
Yeah, they wanted to beat us to the punch and let everybody know. Shout out to y'all.
Shout out to y'all for letting the podcast world and Twitterverse know that we are with child.
That's all good day, fam.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are expecting.
And that's one reason why your girl has been kind of quiet. I am in nesting phase. I am trying to save up as much energy as possible. Making a child is not easy, or growing one, rather. Making one is a lot of fun. Tons of fun. Growing one is a lot of work. sometimes you feel like a lazy cow. Like, what did I really accomplish today? But no. I did, you know, start a new career in the midst of all of this. And so, don't know exactly what the universe is trying to tell me, but I've decided not to question it and just keep moving along this path. But needless to say, my energy has been zapped a little bit, definitely during the first trimester. I'm happily in the second trimester, but I am in the dead of summer, which means me plus a little person within me makes me hotter than everybody else. but it's great. You know, Chris and I, we have a beautiful child that's getting ready to start first grade, and it's kind of a trip that we are now getting ready to start all over again. Mm-hmm. We had cleared the home of
your siblings.
Right, we have cleared the house of all things for itty bitty little kids, and now we're about to have to recoup all of that.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's different because I had a sibling and you didn't.
I did not.
And I was like, this is more familiar territory.
Yeah,
I'll have a better understanding of what they going through.
And to be clear, I have two wonderful stepsisters. And in my family, we don't use terms like step and half. But for the sake of clarity, I have two stepsisters and I have a half brother. But I was raised alone. So I have siblings, but I was raised an only child. Mm. And so, yeah, I have no idea what this experience is going to be like. But I'm looking forward to it.
Oldest of the two, now my son is the oldest of the two.
And for the record, he was asking for this.
Yeah, he wanted it. We don't know what it is yet.
No, we don't know.
Should we tell him?
Should we tell whom?
I guess everybody listening.
Tell them what?
When we find out.
Why not? How about we'll have a little game and you guys can give us, once we find out definitively what we're having, you guys can give us name suggestions. Yeah. You just see the very frightened look that just came across.
I'm like, people going to give them.
Don't mean, just know, just because you give them, don't mean we're going to use them.
I want to be when I was like.
Yeah. I already think it's a girl.
Get to name it.
Yeah, I think it's a girl, and we already got Ruby Lucille as a suggestion from one of the homies. Ruby Lucille. Taking it back. Chris has. And I'm somebody that likes unisex names for girls.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to get or just masculine names for girls.
Ruby Lucille is old, and if I'm going to pick an old, if I'm going to actually pick an old, like, sounding name, that one's going to take, I have to sit on that one. Because if I'm going to pick old, I want to pick somebody family-related name that would sound good. I'm like, no, because if I'm going to pick something old that got some roots in the way it sound, I got to really decide who I'm naming this child after.
What about James? For a girl. I'm not going to get my way. I like James for a girl, but I don't see it happening because Chris has the craziest response and it confuses the hell out of Eli. He's like, wait.
She going to be doing that because I'm going to be doing Bond. James Bond.
If she's a cool kid, that's not a problem.
My kid.
I'm like, as long as she's, I feel like girls can pull off names like that as long as they all right.
Something in between, but I still hadn't hit me. I guess I haven't looked. I'm like, maybe I'm waiting. Maybe it's like, all right, we really get down to the end. I'm like, all right, let me start putting my 2 cents in and picking.
Yeah, it's with our
suggestions.
With our son, we had a few names.
Well, you asking, he don't give them to you. Like, what names you considering? Like, here we go.
As long as it makes sense and goes with Layman, don't be coming at us crazy.
I'm picking now. I need something that, that sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. And has a good meaning. That's the part that's been hard for me. I come across names that I really like, and then when I look them up, the meaning is like.
Yeah, because the middle name means something, just depending on what the middle name is, you might have to pick, depends on the name.
Yeah.
On the first name, but we don't have all time for that.
Yeah. So that's what's happening with us for 2014. As you guys can probably tell, the whole family is on summer break. People are on vacation, family reunions, so on and so forth. We are going to meet as a team this week, though. And we got special guests. We got fam coming up.
Yeah, we're trying to have another recording session at a break.
Yeah.
Knock them joints out. And those are always fun to do.
Yeah.
You know, we invite a lot of people over. So sometimes it's a challenge to, you know, to get a lot of frequent stuff. But we record a lot at one time. And, you know, we try to make sure we give y'all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And we stay busy. I know with the Brothers Layman, we, you know, I guess it's quiet time. Now, free agency is what it is, but no sports popping, but we know football along the way.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, and I think once we get into fall, everybody's schedule will regulate. The Brown Girls, we put out another episode this week. But again, we've been on vacation, and
so. Listen to that one. I hadn't had a chance to.
Yeah. Our tribute to Maya Angelou and Ruby Dee. But Tori and I had a really good conversation about those two Brown Girls. With the Jam, Merk is building his DJ career and finds himself hella sold up on weekends. But shout out to Merk 80. He was spinning at the BET Experience a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's what's up.
Mm-hmm. He got the hook up there and was out there doing his thing, doing a damn thing.
Yeah, so check him out.
Yeah, make sure if you are in LA, you look for some of his events, namely the Bashment Boogie. Is the event. I know he does once a month. But yeah, the Jam is still, we have some guests coming up within the next few weeks. And let's see what else. Culture Connection.
Yeah, Malcolm has decided to kind of pull back a little bit. He's been busy with his MKDR's management.
Right.
As, you know, the listeners have been knowing. And you can tell he's busy. You know, but he still wants to do it.
Yeah.
And he still wants to put something out and give y'all something good. And so, you know, it won't be weekly anymore.
No.
You know, it's just time doesn't happen. And, you know, we're not forcing people to do it like that. This is all love over here.
Yeah. And our network, we go with the flow. We understand that people have lives and the time that they give to podcasting for the sake of the network is all love and it's all a blessing. And so we appreciate it. We appreciate all the work people put in. We have a few other podcasts that have been proposed to us. Not going to speak too much about them until certain things get solidified, but that's kind of an awesome experience I think Chris and I are having, is that people respect our work enough to approach us and say, hey, I have an idea and want to know what you think about it. And mm-hmm. we've had a few meetings with people in the since the summer has begun, with suggested shows, one of which is really blowing our minds. So, you know, we will keep you guys posted as things go. There's definitely another podcast, another show that I'm going to be doing in the works. I'm not going to say who I'm doing it with. I'm not going to say what it's about, but it is something that I'm building with another fellow podcaster of mine. And we've been on the low about it. We've been in the planning stages of it for many months now and have actually had some test recordings, but we want so much for it to be as close to perfection as possible, that we're taking our time with it. We think the content is universal and we're not really up against any sort of deadline or time constraints. And so it's just a matter of making sure that it's a good quality show that people will want to check back in with. So saying all of that to say, stay tuned in to our network, even though it's summer and things have slowed down. We are still here. We are still working. There's still ideas brewing in the lab and we're still going to be bringing new stuff to you.
Yeah. So, I mean, we want to thank everybody who's been supporting us, with all the shows and retweeting the shows and shared it with their friends. And we really appreciate that. You know, people who've, commented and left us feedback and just letting us know they enjoy what we do. I mean, we really appreciate that. You know, we try to read them when we can, when we get them, and I know we've been bad, but I do want to shout the latest one out that we got. It wasn't recent, but I want to shout out J-Dub, the QB. Gave us a 5-star rating. Great set of shows. These shows are great. I enjoy the quality of the shows, and the topics are very insightful. Keep up the great work. You know, that just stuff like that keeps us going. I mean, we appreciate y'all supporting. We love getting y'all feedback, comments, letting y'all know what you guys think of all the shows we have, and you know, just supporting us. We really do appreciate it.
And if you have missed Chris's new music show, Turn My Headphones Up, I would highly suggest you backtrack and find it and listen to it. I've said it millions of times, but Chris is a secret DJ. He kind of, I won't say he missed his calling, because the way life works and the way our generation goes, you can have your hand in multiple different things, but he definitely has a talent for finding great music and putting together wonderful mixes. And so definitely check out, there's two episodes that are up currently of Turn My Headphones Up. So bump them in the car, bump them in your headphones while you're at work. Some definite head knocking material there for you. Don't miss out on that.
No, nigga, you not enjoy having a woman like that by your side.
You so funny, baby. Well, I love you.
Love you too.
You my boo.
But you know, this is you know, Black Ears. We just, this network, we try to put out great stuff for y'all. And let us know. Please let us know what you think. We love your support. I will leave y'all with some this last bit of got a good 10 minutes or something of a part of a discussion we had with the crew. One of the ones that you've been hearing lately.
That last one. Mm-hmm. Wood, Sean.
We started that thirst. That thirst night.
That thirst night spun out of control. And you guys, honestly, the mics did not cut off for about 3 hours. So
you couldn't tell. Yeah. The last batch of breaks were, those were fun to make.
Yeah. And they were all recorded in one fell swoop.
Dave, it just. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
And normally the way we record is, you know, we have topics. And we go from topic to topic and, you know, we'll cut the mic in between topics, turn the mic back on and, you know, get some mics off episodes. But that whole thirst conversation made it so that it became thirst about everything, just thirst in life. Mm-hmm. And we just decided to keep the mics rolling for the entirety of the recording session, which ran about 3 hours. And so
usually at some point, it waves, because sometimes, you know, it gets real fun and also we start really hitting some, you know, deep issues and then we just go deep and then all of a sudden we just get late, we get silly and it just come right back up.
Yeah.
Start talking about silly stuff.
Yep. It's all in good fun, though.
Showing the mix of everything that we are.
Yes.
Ain't just that regular one thing or another.
No.
Black is a lot of stuff.
It's too many things. We always have a multitude of opinions and experiences at the table, which has been a blessing. Mm-hmm. That's been great. It's been very rare that the whole group has been of the exact same mindset. I think there might be one or two podcasts that are like extra short because we're like, okay, so we all agree on this and next. But
we got a couple of folk that are like, oh, everybody agreeing. Okay, devil's advocate.
Right. Let me give you this perspective. Oh, man. But, you know, everybody hold us in the light. Chris and I are in a huge transition period right now, just with everything that's going on. You know, we're preparing to go from life as a two-parent, one-child household to two parents, two children. And like I used to tell Chris before we got pregnant, I was like, with one child, it takes two of us for him. So if we have two, we're about to be outnumbered.
I know.
But it's definitely a transition. We're at a point in life where we're making a whole lot of different decisions, not only for us, of course, but for our children. And Black is a huge part of it. It's a very large part of our contribution to their world. And so just continue to hold us in light.
I want to give a quick shout out to a lot of fellow podcasters, if I can remember them all, you know, since we don't get a lot of time to do this. But of course, shout out to Big Brother Moody.
Yeah, that's our family. And Moody, thank you so much for checking on me as frequently as you do. He checks on his little sis weekly and the new niece or nephew that's coming.
And a little shout out to Jay for Right to Real Love. Hey, man, he's got some great content. So,
yeah, Jay's the business. You know,
please make sure you're checking him out. Okay, Jay, Lady Jay, welcome to the village.
Yeah, that's family, too.
It's just a lot of folk, Black astronauts, you know, Aaron B and them, you know, we on baby too.
Yeah, you guys have
going through the same thing.
Yeah, about to double it up.
You know, but congrats to y'all. I hope you enjoying fatherhood for the first time. The Pisces life, you know, straight out of low cash, Black guy who tips, 5 minutes away, casino. Ain't nobody forgot about you.
Yes.
You know, you got Dino Red at the Red Rock Podcasting Network. You know, another LA folk. Nerdy Black Chicks.
Yes. I love them.
Should you check them out, too? It's a lot of folk.
Hip Hop Digest.
Of course, Hip Hop Digest. You know, I love them dudes, man. That's a great show as well.
Yeah.
If you were a hip hop head like I am, you know, you just playing them.
Yeah. Amazing. That's an amazing podcast crew. You guys already know how I feel about them. Let me not gush because I'll probably just be repeating myself. But they're if anybody listening to us is a new podcaster and you want to get good ideas for formats, you know, everybody that we've named off is really good. But to look at a crew that can kind of knock out in 30 to 45 minutes what it takes a lot of us a few hours to do, listen to Hip Hop Digest for not only their ability to put together a quality podcast with brevity, but have a team that really fits and has really good energy together. Like you want that kind of camaraderie when you got different people on the mic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the girl at the In Deep Show.
Yes, yes.
Some silly folk out of
DMV. Mm-hmm. Jokesters, the jokesters.
Yeah, we love y'all. That was fun the last time. You can go back and listen to us all acting silly.
Yes. An extra special shout out from me personally to Queen Ning and to Lady Ro. Both of you sisters check on me really consistently. And, you know, I appreciate it. I really do. You know, sometimes for me personally, when you are pregnant, I feel socially isolated only because I'm somebody who is very social, and under other circumstances, when I'm not pregnant, I'm out and about. But in my pregnant state, I prefer to be more at home. Just because pregnant people look crazy at bars. I think you just look crazy. Why are you at the bar? right? You obviously should not be here participating or just certain social functions. I just feel like if it's a family affair, yeah, but other events, I feel like we kill the vibe. So
because you gotta go to a restaurant. Yeah,
that's it.
At the table and not the bar.
That's it. But I appreciate you sisters checking on me. I really do. That really means something for me to get a text or a tweet that just says, you know, sis, how are you feeling? It means everything. And I appreciate it because I feel like I'm just less active with everything right now because I'm really on my hustle with my career. You guys know I moved into a new career in real estate, which I'm really happy and enthusiastic about. But in addition to that, I'm getting more rest. I sleep a lot more. And so that leaves less time for me to be interactive on social networking, as much as I love it. But when you reach out and ask me how I'm doing and check on a sister, I appreciate it because everybody's in my heart and on my mind. I just, you know, energy is shot from time to time. So thank you, Queen Neen. Thank you, Lady Ro. Love you both.
You know, shout out to all the podcasters, all the listeners. You know, we just appreciate everybody. It's all a family thing. We all trying to get through this thing called life together.
Yes.
So shout out to all of y'all. You can get at us at our website, blackisonline.com. You can follow us on Twitter at blackisonline, on Facebook at blackismagazine. You can always hit us up at kc@blackisonline.com. I hope you enjoy what's coming next. And, you know, thank y'all. We will talk to y'all soon.
Yes. Peace.
Later.
I need to put myself in the position where I can say, okay, what kind of school can I create? Yeah. And let that be my start. Let that be one of my contributions is to create a school that I know is doing things the way I know they should be done. Because it's
too many interferences.
Yeah. And you just get, it makes my blood boil to think about things that I've seen over the years I've been in education. And the fact that working with predominantly black children and then in the second phase, black and brown children, you're just like, wow, nobody gives a shit. Not even the black people.
This is what people ask me, Sean, why'd you become a conservative? Why'd you join the Republican Party? I said, because I was crying out in the wilderness in the black Democrat and nobody wanted to change anything because people were satisfied with nothing. I say, I will go anywhere where they let me talk this way. And as long as white Republicans don't get my way, you do your thing and let me do mine. Because you're making sure your communities are established and well-maintained for generations to come. And we're in a fight where we're trying to just survive as black people. And nobody's addressing it.
That's true. People knew last week was the Intel's International Science and Engineering Competition for students.
Well, I got out of education, so I kind of stopped following the education thing.
From all across the country, right? Ask me how many black kids I spotted last week in downtown LA.
How many?
Two.
Right? And then I'll add.
Yeah, honey.
Count the black boy that was online who's doing research. He's from New York. His parents are teachers. He's doing medical research on colon cancer.
So you guys don't have to be Republicans or conservative, but when I make my call, will y'all come?
Yes.
Because the thing is, it's about something that's happened to us as a people. Right. And I'm not so concerned with the party because the party's going to do what they do because everybody's looking out for their interests. I'm saying black people, we need to do something drastic right now to stop this. We're bleeding and we need to stop it.
To the director of science. I said to the director of science last week, I was like, so you know. This is Intel International Science Society for Science and Engineering Competition. Intel's big competition is here. She's like, oh yeah, it's intense. I was like, we've got to get our students in here. She laughed. She laughed. And she was like, oh, it's intense. Right?
As if our kids can't participate.
Right? And, right? She said, it took me 10 years before I could get a student in. So I kind of looked at her like, then you was a bad teacher.
Right.
Like, you're bad if you couldn't get one in. And I was like, so none of our students? I was like, we've got to be able to get at least one of our students competing in this. You, she sat there very comfortably like, don't entertain that. This is like high research. She's like, do you see the rewards they win? Like, yeah, I know they go to Switzerland and sit in at the Nobel Prize. You trying to tell me your ass don't believe that of the 10,000 kids in our organization, not one
could qualify.
That's a person who doesn't believe, but that's
an institution that is. That's why I got out of the UC system. The UC system is filled with that mentality, and most of the people in that, most of the people with that mindset, they are Democrats. I'm sitting there saying, how are you a Democrat and you are in a public institution and you know all these black kids out here in LA and Oakland need this help, and you sit there every day and walk right over them, and you ask me to be helped and be comfortable working at UC because showing it, quote unquote, this is a job to have. Fuck you and your job. When you sitting here watching this many black kids get looked over and nobody saying anything about it.
She said
people
it.
People just doing their time.
Confident. Confident. I was like.
And I for me, I just can't. There's no way I could accept a job where I do that.
I'm like, yeah.
People are doing that.
I looked at the projects. I look at what they're doing. She was like.
Retired.
While so many generations are being left behind.
You know, we still making candy sales.
That's why we got to be done with it. Because I'm like, y'all over here bullshitting. You playing.
Yeah.
You're not really pouring into
the kids had a whole week in Los Angeles. They competed within their countries or in their states. They fall in different categories like community and science, medical science, bioengineering, whatever field of science. They compete within their schools. They compete at the state level or their country level. Then they come here for a week in Los Angeles. They came in on Sunday. They left today.
Okay.
And they're just competing, defending their work, either singles or in groups and teams. They're roaming through downtown LA like, you know,
right.
It's nothing. Like, we present in 2 hours. Little kids from India, all over Asia. Yeah. Like I said, I saw the one little black boy who ranked pretty high, and he was doing his on colon cancer. And then I saw the team from Atlanta, and I already knew they were probably like upper middle class kids because their team, they were like six of them coming to have lunch at CPK. Mm-hmm. And it was like four white kids and the two black kids on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some little private school names. So I was like, okay. Not that they don't count as black kids, but I already knew like they're in an area where they're not dealing with. Yeah, it's yeah. not.
I was talking to a deacon in a church that I spoke to. He's an engineer. And he learned his trade from his father originally, and he was telling me how, unlike a lot of engineers who, you know, if you learn engineering in the aerospace industry, you only know aerospace, or if you learn it in the maritime industry, you only know, you know, marine type engineering or automotive and so forth. He says he can go to any energy engineering field because he's learned the principles and he knows how to apply them across sectors and so forth. But we're talking about the fact that they really, and he's part of a black engineering fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
He said he wanted to come and meet. But he was saying that, you know, getting young black kids interested in engaged subjects, you know, math and science, and
STEM, period, yeah,
is very difficult. And we were talking about why. And it came to exactly what you were saying earlier about role models and so forth. He had his father, and he is where he is because he saw what his father did and so forth. And now his son is a race car driver also. What we have to do is, because here on Black Heads, for instance, we can highlight, you know, things like this Black Engineering Fraternity and so forth. My brother-in-law is also part of something like that and so forth. But, you know, it's so easy for people to get excited about the Jay-Z Solange stuff and so forth.
Because it seems easy.
Well, yeah, because it seems easy and so forth. But, you know, we have to really broadcast the message of the values that are important, but also be able to captivate people's imagination, too. That's a tough thing.
Yeah.
To make what's valuable also sort of entertaining on a certain level.
Well, that in addition to the fact that I think we need to stop steering our kids into the same professions all the time. I think a lot of time black folks have a tendency to push their kids into medicine, law, education or entertainment, as if those are the only industries that exist. Right. They're not. You know what I'm saying? Every time I hear a little black or brown child talking about, oh, I want to go to medical school. Do you really want to go to medical school? Do you know what it means to be a doctor? Is that something you want to wake up every day and actually fucking do? Or does it just sound good? But nobody else in your family has done it.
Well, that's a testimony probably the power of the hospice.
Yeah, yeah, true. But
we saw, you know, what was it? Which comedian was saying?
And what did he say? Like, a doctor?
Well, it's funny too, because if you know the history of the Cosbys, what they originally were supposed to be were two more sort of blue collar positions, and the network. Camille went to Bill and told him you should pick something that is more reflective of our actual lifestyle, and that's when he decided to do a doctor and a lawyer. But that wasn't their original profession. But there's so many other professions to get into. You know what I mean?
The kids have to be exposed to it. The kids have to be exposed to it.
Like when I worked in architecture and design, do you know how many black folks is in architecture and design?
Would you guys
damn near none?
Would you guys be open to doing something that I think has not been done in a long time? And I think we have to do something drastic that not only draws attention, but is profoundly deep in the concept of what it means to be black in America. One of the things I like about this area and talking to friends, other friends who live in this area, I'm like, looking at West Hollywood, the gay community, and when you always hear people say, well, the gay community and their movement, they use the black community to exemplify their models to be successful. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, one thing they didn't do, that we do, they incorporated and created a community that's for them a safe haven. All the things we're talking about tonight, where is a black safe haven city that's created specifically with black people in mind? There, it doesn't even exist. There is West Hollywood for the gays in California. There's a city called Wilton Manors in Florida. All gay people, they went into a heterosexual community and took it over and incorporated it. Mm-hmm. All the police, everybody. It's about their interests. Where is that city for us as black people? And I think the Baldwin Crenshaw area should be incorporated as a black city.
It could be.
And once we do that, we talk about bringing all these programs in. One of the things I tried to implement at UC Irvine as long as I could, because I used to work in Oakland at the president's office, was to reach out to all the black faculty and staff in the STEM programs and say, look, come together on a summer and do a summer camp for inner city black kids. Where you run the program, you teach them about labs and whatever, everything they need to know, offer it to black kids that's run by black faculty, black staff. I got so many black staff who say, we'll volunteer if the faculty volunteers. Mm-hmm. And everybody thought it was a great idea. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, why don't we have a city that's incorporated by black people? We have our own black mayor. We have our own black city council. The resources in the Crenshaw District with the oil wells up on La Brea, that would all be a part of this city. Which would generate resources.
It would have to it would have to originate probably in View Park, because View Park is the one area that's already working to kind of remove itself from everything else.
We set the boundaries. My thing is everything south of the 10 down to Florence. Everything over to how far you want to go east.
He said, how far you want
to
go?
And then all the way over to La Cienega.
Yeah, and we say that this is a black... You don't want to go south of Slauson.
Well, the thing is because we're incorporating a middle class with I hate using terms like that, but two different segments of our society.
Right.
Where we're saying what you're talking about, we can address those who don't have the education and the resources. We combine those two worlds and be a model for the rest of the country.
I would have no problem with that.
Which means that the homeowners in these areas would have to buy into it by signing a petition.
Yeah. And then, well, with gentrification now, we got a lot of white homeowners.
And most people who were in this area, they've assimilated to the black culture.
Yeah,
right.
Because they knew what they were coming into. It's not like you got to sell them. Even the Latinos, most of the people who were in the vicinity of the areas I'm talking about, they are very comfortable with the black culture.
Yeah. And they've adjusted.
And when
because you're not really going, this area, you have to do some really big step to move the black people out. Right. You have enough of us here who are aware.
And what we're saying is we're not anti anybody. We're saying that we're trying to set an example of what it looks like for our future and what needs to be done. We can't ask government to do everything. There are certain things we have to take ownership for ourselves. The first thing we have to do is own our city.
That's true.
That's very true. That's very true.
We can elect you mayor.
Oh, you don't want me mayor. I piss too many people off. It'd be like showing people selling their properties left and right.
So. I'm going to do some research. Well, I thank you guys.
Thank you for having me.
This is going to help us. On the way y'all going, but you're going to get the hell up out of here.